Difficult day for many of us. November 10th, first hour of this time. Just let us, what I was thinking of in the 15 minutes leading up to coming on was, wow, it's time for us to, let's just count our blessings. And I would like us to go into the chat and just write down some of your blessings. Let's really share these. Just, I'm going to go there and start doing that myself. And I'm going to start with the fact that I have this connection with all of you, which is brings so much joy. And just remember that with the fear, we can override fear with gratitude. So where is my chat to start writing some of my gratitudes? The fact that, you know, we have food when so many people don't. We're just, for those of you who just joined, I'm just asking you to go into the chat and write down some things for which you're grateful, and that we share this and we send this around the planet when there's so much diversion and pain going on with so much loss now. And chat, here we go. And the fact that we have our computers and a roof over our head when so many don't, that's one of my huge gratitudes. It's just such a joy to look around this screen and see so many of us who've been meeting together now over months, many of you since we started this in May. And I would like to just start with this. I started by reading a little bit from this book, Uncommon Prayer, last week. And I looked at another part. This is a page 13. And the title of this, it's just a few pages, a short chapter on prayer does. Current models of ourselves, biology, tell us that every thought and experience we have is transmitted immediately to the cells of our body. Candace Pertz, Molecules of Emotions, so impressively illustrated in the film, What the Bleep Do We Know, describe how molecules called neuropeptides arrive almost instantaneously at the cell walls when we experience strong emotions or associative memories. And part of that, if you think about it, Chanel, you and several other people here have said how much it's given you to go into our forest and just gather us all there and feel the trees and the wind and hear the bees and the butterfly wings and just the rustling in the grass and feel the breath of the earth under our feet and know what a treasure that is, that we can go there. Prayer changes things in us and around us. And the chapter before this was talked about how each thought we have is like a prayer, or each hope that we have is like a prayer. A chemical reaction takes place that literally changes how the cell functions whenever these events take place. More recent studies have shown that the continued presence of these molecules causes the cell to replicate differently, producing daughter cells that respond even more readily. Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief, details how the membranes of each of our cells is a biological semiconductor working like a computer chip, and functioning as the cell's brain. His research shows that our brain and other cells work as receivers, and that our brains and bodies don't create thoughts and feelings that receive signals and act on them according to the programs we've developed over the years, just like wireless computers. When we go through the words and actions we've been taught to call prayer, we're tuning the receiver, that is our body, to a higher frequency. We are increasing the level of vibrations in and between the cells, releasing certain neuropeptides into the bloodstream and sending certain electrical signals to the nerve cells. As we do so, we are aligning our thoughts and emotions, condensing the many aspects of our being into a single condensate. In that state, the being we call ourself is operating outside of our normal reality. The cells in our brain and body can receive, and we can perceive, new kinds of signals at a higher vibration and with new kinds of information. And the cells of our body respond by changing the way they function. Studies have been done all over the world with people who pray or meditate constantly, consistently. Michael Murphy's The Future of the Body and Calm Healing by Newman and Miller document dozens of these. The effects of even doing the practice once or twice have been observed as improvements in blood pressure, metabolism, and skin tone, as well as calmer, more effective response to stress and improved quality of relationship. And every time we give thanks to ourselves, this is like a prayer. When we recognize in this every cell in our body, wow, this amazing creativity at the center of the cells, what runs us. I mean, every time I think of that, it's made a difference in how I'm able to deal with the pain that I'm receiving right now. In that state of being, our individual self is not separate from all others. As evidenced by the Princeton University Global Consciousness Project during the events of 9/11 and replicated several times since, shifts in states of consciousness by large numbers of people are measurable as a single event. And that's what HeartMath Institute has been doing around the world in certain places. And Eleanor and I had the great pleasure and excitement and honor of being there at the center of HeartMath Institute in California, and standing right there where in the earth is this huge, it's a device that measures states of group consciousness. The change is measured as a shift in the operation of specially programmed computers placed around the world. Normally producing endless streams of random numbers, these computers begin to show patterns when large numbers of people think and feel similarly. The one mind common to all humanity that Ralph Waldo Emerson described in his essay, History, responded clearly to the collapse of the Twin Towers and again during the 3 minutes of silence a few days later. Intense emotion intense focus of attention both contribute to the power of prayer. Larry Dossey's Prayer is Good Medicine is one of several books summarizing the many experiments over the last several decades that have shown prayer's effects. These studies have demonstrated that simply expressing positive regard toward a patient, wherever they are, can change that patient's current condition. And of course, this is what we have been finding, that every positive thought that we give toward our bodies, our own bodies, acknowledging the brilliance, the genius in every cell in our body, that is what is the key to this amazing, like, connector that we have to this amazing ability of our bodies to take care and to heal ourselves. And that's what is at the heart of this Tellington Tea Touch. It's what it just, like, got me with this concept, you know, 1976. I still think about it like it was last week, sitting in that restaurant with this book, Man on His Nature, and reading Sherrington, this Nobel Prize winner, this concept that every cell in the body knows its function in the body. That's what we're all doing here together, is acknowledging that. And when each one of us does that and just remembers we're precious, every being, everything, and everything we're looking at. I'm looking out the window. I wish you could see this beauty up the mountain here with these sun sparkling on the just gently moving palm leaves and the tops of the trees, because we're up on the second level. Just acknowledging that we're a part of all of that. I think this is making a difference on the planet for each person who recognizes that we're all a part. Every cell in the body is a part of all that is. And that's when we experience heaven on earth. And the fact that we can consciously make a choice, this basic concept, looking at that partially empty glass, whether it's a quarter full or half full, but seeing the positive part of what is full can change the way we function. And I think what's happening to many of us is, we need to keep remembering, you know, and talking to our bodies with this 1 1/4 connecting spiral, connecting to that brilliance, that divine spark, that creative energies of the universe right here. And I how many times I give thanks to this book by Joan King, this sharing this Hindu legend with us, that the power of creativity, whether it's the Hindu legend or the King James version of the Bible, that power is within us. That's who we are. That's what keeps me so grateful for being able to share this really simple way of connecting. And for those of you in the dog world, you know that my sister Robin Hood has developed a connector that is an amazing way for dogs who pull to bring them into balance. And this that we have, this connector, this 1 1/4 spiral, golden ratio spiral circle that we all have in common, it is like a miracle. And I want just to share a few thoughts, and I'm so grateful, Chanel, that you're here with us again and that we can support you. And just know that whenever you venture into that forest, we're there with you. And I have been dealing with a really interesting pain when I wake up in the morning in my little finger. like I couldn't bend my hand. And so I was really inspired by my dental hygienist jammed her finger. I can't remember how she did it, but it really hurt. And she was favoring it. And so I asked her what was going on. And she told me, and I said, oh, here, I'll just show you. And, you know, I took maybe a minute, certainly not more, to show her the various ways that we have, like in three choices of the ways to bring awareness to her finger. And now I've seen her twice since then. And she said she thinks every day of that and does that T-touch because it's almost totally better now. And it was really bad. And then we had in the dog class that we did on Zoom in Switzerland, I came in for 3 hours a couple of times. No, for an hour and a half or so in this one, for a couple of times. And one of the people there came up, and each person could share something with me or have a question in the class. And she said, what can I do for my hands? She's been she plays viola. It's the bigger violin. And she's been doing it for 35 years. And she said her hands are so painful. She can just barely hold the leash because now she's working to change her career to do T-touch with dogs. And what can she do? And so I just showed her what we all did together with our fingers. And she came back. I came on with them again 2 days later. And she said, look, it's no pain. Now, the fact that we can do that for ourselves and just remember to do it. And like, it used to be a mystery to me. I wanted to know, okay, wait, how come this, how, why, what's behind this basic circle and a quarter that we can release our pain or our fear, which we know absolutely we can do. And this concept that we are connecting with that creative divine spark in every cell in our body. It's so simple, but we have to keep, I think, sharing it. And I'm so grateful for my hand. I've been working on this now every morning. When I fell, you know, the splat on my back, I whacked this elbow and something happened here. First, it was my little finger. And I really worked on that and it's fine. But then I got it in my second finger and now I'm working on this one. And I worked all the way up my arm, but the interesting thing was, like we found Jewel with you with your knee, it wasn't up my arm. It really was localized for some reason. But the fact that I can do this and when I'm doing it, I'm thinking of all of you and the fact that we share these experiences with ourselves or our friends or family or our animals in some cases.
So, Linda, can I interrupt you for a second?
Always, Kirsten, just pop in.
Nancy asked what the three ways are with the fingers. I don't think I heard all three.
Great, thank you, Nancy. As usual, you have great questions. So let me just go up here to speaker view. So, how I started this idea with working with the fingers in this way has a long story. I can't remember what year it was. Boy, I was trying the other day to remember when it was. In the mid 80s, I had a friend when I was, I'd come back from Germany and I was living in California. And I had a friend who had terrible, terrible arthritis. And I was doing Feldenkrais with her. And she was going to a chiropractor. She had just pain all the time. And she was every week going to a chiropractor for work on her fingers. So I asked her if I could go with her and see what was being done to her. And so she was paying $25 at the time to have rubbed like this, literally, that was just all fingers, And then he went into the roof of the mouth and did something kind of painful in the roof of her mouth. And that was the session. It was $25. And years later, when we were bringing Detach to our work, it was so beautiful that we could do T-Touch on the fingers. And what are all the different ways that we could possibly bring awareness to each part of our fingers? So some of you will remember this because we did it. So I'd like us to do it again. And I'm going to start with my little finger. Let's see. So if I, first of all, I'd like to just start right here at the joint, and I put on the finger on the top and the bottom. And I just want to have you check and see if there's any discomfort when you circle and press behind that. Now, whew, like last week when I did this, oh my gosh, there was a lot of discomfort. Now I can press as hard as I want, and I have to press like really hard to even get even then it's no twinge. So I just wanted to check that to start with. Now, instead of working on the top and bottom, yeah, because that's, we do everything with our hands, we go to the inside and the outside. And remember, we said like the middle finger is going underneath. So it's kind of like a little hug of the hand. So I'm going to start now so you can see it. And I just follow it. I'm going to put my thumb on the inside as a, like a connector. And now I'm going to circle in a quarter with my forefinger and a little, like a lift, a little push up toward my hand. Nice deep breath, circle and a quarter, and a push up toward my hand. And this is just one of the choices. And so I'm just going to do two like that because some of you won't like it. Now we're going to do it differently. Circle and a quarter with the forefinger and lift up toward the heavens. Yeah. Just go down a little bit more, circle and a quarter, and a lift up toward the heavens. Now, those are two. Now, there's another possibility that some people actually prefer. Circle and a quarter, and it's, I do that little spiral inward. It's not up, it's not toward my hand, it's not toward the heaven, it's a little into the middle. And I tried it just for the heck of it the other day. I tried to see what would happen if I don't have the thumb on the other side, if I just like do circles like here. And it's not at all the same if I don't have that connection between. Now, pick a finger. Let's go to the middle finger. And let's try this again. And you see which of those connectors which you prefer, and go all the way down to the tip. Now, before I do that, I just want to ask, does anybody have any questions? Is it clear what I said? Because maybe it's not that clear. Any questions about it?
Yeah, I do. When you lift towards the hand, yeah, you're starting the circle in the direction of the tip of your fingers then, right? Where are you starting?
Right. That's right. Yes. Like you were standing, you know, like if you were standing over 4 feet, like a dog, like a horse. So it's toward the, like when your feet were on the ground.
And then when you are lifting towards the ceiling, you're starting the circle in a different position.
No,
you're starting.
Yes, Nancy. You're right. Yes. Absolutely. But try it both ways and see what makes sense to you. That's the point. Okay. Do what feels comfortable. Just because it doesn't make logical sense, does it?
No, it doesn't feel the same.
Right.
And then the third one I wasn't real clear on.
It's like the spiral we talked about, like circle and a quarter and into the center.
Oh, now are you only making the circle with one finger again?
Yes.
So your thumb is still stabilizing.
A stabilizing circle and a quarter. And then when you go in, it's like I close between the thumb and finger.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay.
You need to create that base for it.
Okay. Now, but
go on.
That's good. That helps. Something before you started showing us, I put one hand. I saw you make this position.
Yeah.
And then, like, I chose a finger and I did the circles with my thumb.
Bring your hand. Oh, that's totally good. On the side. Yes, because see, I start on the inside, and then if you have like real issues in your hand, then go do the other side with the thumb.
Yeah, and then my fingers on this side are supporting the back of my fingers. I'm holding this, these are my support fingers, and I'm doing the circling with my thumb.
Now, the reason that, so you're going on the top, right?
Yes.
Well, see what happens if you come to the sides. And I do not know why I'm saying that. I just know that for me, it's totally different if I go top and bottom. I get a very different relationship. And maybe I should get out the hand chart, because remember, we're working on all parts of the body with every part of the fingers.
So when you have your fingers on both sides, and right, then your middle finger under it.
Yeah.
Are you doing the circle with your thumb or your forefinger? Are you doing it with both?
One way I go down with my right now with the forefinger, and then I start again and I do it with the thumb.
Okay, good. That's good. Okay. Thank you.
She's good, eh? You're good. You've got great questions. Now, this may not seem like what are we doing if I don't have anything with my hands, but wait a minute. Wow. What about honoring these hands? Think what they do for us. I mean, how blessed we are when we have them. And for those, maybe some of you remember the stories, one of my really precious memories is working on Cecilia Wendler's mom, who used to be a pianist, and her hands have become very gnarled and very arthritic. And she wanted me to work on them, but she didn't like the looks of it. And so maybe you remember, I had a few silk handkerchiefs with me with different colors, and I had her choose which color she wanted. And I worked through the silk handkerchief with the color that she liked. And she talked about it. You know, until she left the planet. Just that honoring of the hands, where if we have a part that we don't like, it really takes a lot to learn to love that. And that's what we're talking about in this chapter on prayer is. Prayer is acknowledging our amazing beings that we are. No, divine beings, everyone, everything. So, Nancy, thank you for that. Now, does anybody have any questions? And I want to just encourage you, even though you have made nothing with your hands, just, wow. You know, and another memory I have, it's so beautiful. In our classes in Germany, when we were doing these 3-year certification program, to be a practitioner working with other people. At the end, you gave a presentation, and this one person, and she's since crossed the Rainbow Bridge, and she took another one of our classmates, and she worked on her hand as though she was like 95, and she just did these beautiful circles on her hand, talking about what these hands had done for her in her lifetime. And I mean, I remember the feeling of such deep appreciation. We could, it was palpable. We could feel that. And just a moment, look at your hands and think what these have done for us all these years. And if you have stiffness in your fingers, or if you have joints that don't work quite as well, or maybe not as well at all, you can start talking to them. And we've done this in weekend classes. I mean, I can remember, whoa, a couple of people who were really, not happy with their hands. And by just doing what we just did, with me taking your hand and seeing the beauty in it, no matter what it looks like, we can gift that to ourselves. As though this hand belongs to somebody that's really precious, us. We are precious. And I want to bring into this memory, I wish Sandy were here because she was there with us in that weekend class in Charlottesville. When I worked on this, he was a veteran who had only that much fingers left. They'd made a mistake in the hospital. Anyway, he only had nubs of his fingers. And to be able to work on that, on his hand, with deep, deep appreciation for this divine being, this in every cell in our body. And I think about him, and he was not putting blame. He did not come from a place of blame. He was in a place of peace. And that's what we can do with our bodies. Any part that's not, that's bringing us pain, look at that as an opportunity to get to know this vehicle more. And this is, I'll share with you all. I mean, this is really helpful for me being here with all of you, because I'm told that I have some autoimmune issue. I don't yet know what it is. I'll get more tests this afternoon. But you should see me. For those of you who know me, like, I'm down on the floor with dogs or kitties or, cats I usually have on a table, but down on the floor with a dog, and I get up and I'm totally flexible. Ha! If you could see me now, you all. We watch movies every night. We have a great movies, inspiring movies. And I get up and I can barely move. And I mean, you should see me going downstairs. Now, the thing is, because of this, of all of us being together, I can think, well, my mind's clear. And so this body is going through something really interesting. I know it's not age. My husband thinks, well, you're 83, what do you expect? Not that. We can do something. So, I'm doing all of the interesting tests and da-da-da-da. I have a lot of interesting stuff going on. How can I work with this in a holistic way? And that's what I'm doing. But just being here with you. And I want to know, and like the pain that you're going through, Chanel, it's a pain on the planet. And we've got this vehicle, and we can start right here appreciating this. And appreciating our mothers who brought us in. And I want, Chanel, would you be willing to share the story of what happened when a few months ago, we took our mothers, I invited our mothers into the forest, and tell us what happened with you, because that was just amazing.
Well, Linda, I would love to share with you again about that, because I feel it really helped me with the grief of my mother, because I actually saw it coming because of our trip into the forest. And I know that during COVID we've lost a lot of our prayer time and our ceremonies, and some of us are ritualistic, some of us go to church, that sorts of things, and it's been even more hard on us. But I'm going to tell you something. When we went into the forest that day and I saw my mom, and this is before COVID even happened, I didn't know what was going to happen, that was going to happen. And I saw my mom, and I was living in Kamloops, And she was dressed, we were in the forest and I called in my spirit animals and there was deer and cute little rabbits and birds, lots of beautiful birds singing and talking to me. And then she, my mom came up to me and we were connecting with our mothers that day because it was really, sometimes it's really hard to connect with our moms because of the things we've gone through in the past and everything. And I sat there and it was very hard for me to do that. And my mom came to me and she looked like a teenager, Linda.
I remember.
And she was dressed in a beautiful flowing hippie dress. I didn't know my mom was a hippie when she was young, but she was. And back in the days, they wanted to go to Woodstock. She wanted to go to Woodstock and that sort of thing, but she was too young, I think a couple years too young. And so she had these, she was walking up to me in the forest and she had bare feet and a beautiful dress and her long blonde hair was down to her waist. And she was so beautiful, Linda. And she came to me and then we fell in love with each other again. And I said, Mom, like, Mom, you're my best. Like, you're my best friend. I hold you close to my heart, close to the Creator, like where I hold the Creator. And I said, Mom, I can't handle being without you anymore. And I packed everything up, put it into storage. I gave my notice. And I moved to I went to Calgary and I saw her. And she, I told her the story and she was in the hospital and the nurse took pictures of us. And I said, Mom, you know, I saw you in the spirit world and I want to tell you and share Tea Touch with you. And that's why I'm here, because I want you to feel Tea Touch and know what it is that I'm experiencing with you through Tea Touch and everyone else on the planet, really. And she said she really loved it. And she said, you know, Chanel, that's what I looked like when I was a young girl, a teenager. That's how I was. And I said, Mom, you're so healthy in the spirit world. And we had that connection, and that was so, Mom, I've made a decision. I'm going home. I'm getting all of my stuff. I'm moving here so that I could see you more. And there was some spiritual things that happened in the hospital and that were very sacred. And I said, Mom, I can hear the whistling of spirits going up into the universe. I don't know what that means right now. I said, I can hear so many spirits like whistling up into the universe. And she said, I said, maybe, and she said, do you see anything? Because my mom was very spiritual, she could see into the other world sometimes. And she said, do you see anything? And I said, well, I see people sitting around us, yes. And we had a little ceremony and I put tobacco down right in the floor in the hospital. And I rolled a tobacco, a prayer smoke, and then I took it with me on my trip. And for some reason, I always smoke that prayer smoke when I wrap it, but this time I took it with me. And then when I left, I was halfway to Kamloops. My brother texted me and he said, I'm sorry, but Mom died today. And that was the next day. And I held that tobacco that I rolled with her, and I brought it back with me and I smoked it at the funeral. And I put my prayer ties with her and I said, I love you, Mom. So much. I can be in the spirit world. I'm going to be with you. Be with you there. So that's what happened with that. And it's true. We really don't die, we just change addresses. And I have to stay grounded. I have to be grounded here on earth, but at the same time I know that I'm also in the spirit world with her and that she's happy, and I'm grateful that I had that experience with her just before she passed. Mm-hmm. That was an absolute miracle. that I get to say I love you and to say goodbye like that.
And you hadn't seen her for a long time, right?
No, I haven't. I had not seen my mom. I was too scared. I had too much anxiety to go to the big city. I wouldn't have been able to do that before. I had PTSD really bad. I couldn't really go anywhere. But with T-Touch, I've been healing a lot. And I was able to go to Calgary and see her without, you know, without, I've never been downtown Calgary. That was too scary for me. So it was really a blessing that I was able to do that, and a miracle. And that's why I say, like, T-Touch is a scientific thing. You can believe it, you can't believe it. It doesn't matter, it still works. It's a science thing. It's
and what you didn't say this time, which just struck me, was the fact that you didn't realize that your mother was beautiful like that in 15 when you were born, right?
That's right. 16. Yeah, she had me when she was 15. She just turned 16 when she had me. She had turned 16 on the 7th of July, and I was born July 16th.
Hmm. So I'm just, I really thank you for sharing this with all of us, because I've had a couple of other people say what it meant to be with their mothers in the forest, because they didn't have a connection with their mother for, you know, in their adult lives. And so thank you for sharing that with us again. And thank you for being here. And your painting is down in the living room.
I love that painting.
Good. Thank you. So thank you so much. I would like to know now, with the fingers, with anything that we've talked about so far, let us share another person before we take our break. Oh. And
can you hear me?
Let's see who's speaking, please.
Maureen.
Maureen. Hi. Okay. Hi, Maureen.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to share a story with loving your fingers, because when I first bought the very first Abraham Hicks book, it had a positive book of aspects exercise. And I had for 3.5 years the most painful plantar fasciitis on my feet. I had to wear shoes all the time, even to go to the bathroom. And I hate wearing shoes. So I was in excruciating pain walking all the time. So I got this book, and I didn't know anything about it. God just told me to buy it. And I
this was
started
Abraham Hicks book, right?
Yeah. So it said, the positive book of aspects, it said, just focus on something that you love. So I started with my fingers, my hands. And I wrote that night. It was so happy. I was just exhilarated. So I wrote 5-6 pages just on how all the things that I love about my hands. Because like you say, there's millions of things, like we do everything with our hands. So I just kept writing until I went to bed. I was so happy. I got up the next morning and my feet were completely healed. The next morning, nothing, no pain. Jerry came home. He dropped his attaché case. He said, I was dancing in the living room barefoot. He said, what happened? I said, I can't believe it. I said, no, I can believe it. I said, I did this Abraham exercise. And it was just thanking my hands for everything they did. Before the T-Touch thing, I was just thanking my hands. So, you know, I learned when I try to do that to make something work, it doesn't work, because you have to do it for the joy of doing it. But I was in just so much joy and gratitude for the millions of things my hand do. Like in 24 hours, my 3.5 year painful foot problem was gone. So I just want to share that, you know, that gratitude you say for our body is so important, but you do it for the joy of it, not because you're trying to heal something. Because I tried to heal other things by doing gratitude, and it didn't work. You have to be in the joy of appreciation. So I think just that part of the T-Touch is just as much important, because I was shocked after 3.5 years of being in agonizing pain to have it gone in 24
Fantastic.
Hours.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, that is, when we acknowledge, when we come from a place of gratitude, miracles happen. Anyone else have, with your hands, anything? And if you have something and it's not hands, jump in. Doesn't have to be. We can
Hi, Linda.
Yes.
I have
something. So Nancy, is this Nancy again?
Yes, yes.
Okay, great.
One of the things that I notice when I'm agitated, which has been a lot, doing something with my hands all the time. And when I deliberately, you know, keep them still and bring my attention to my breath, it changes. It feels very different. So what is my question?
Well, I have a question for you.
Yes.
While you're thinking, question. What about putting your hands on your heart or on your abdomen and doing heart hugs or belly hugs?
That's a good thing to do. Yeah.
That's a good thing to do. Then you have, it's not just stilling them, it's putting them, you know, to a purpose of bringing you to a place of peace.
Perfect. Thank you. Good.
My joy. Mm. So I would really, anybody who've been, if you don't have it, didn't have any feedback on this, on your hands, T-Touch stories. What have you, how have you been using T-Touch or sharing it with others, as we sometimes get?
Hi, this is Anna.
Anna, hi.
Hi. Just to say really quickly, I have a very good friend who's in her 80s, and she hasn't seen me since, quote, the coronavirus, and she's got to go kind of far away to get cataract surgery. So I get to go see her and drive her. So I'll be leaving, but, you know, I'll see you next Tuesday. But one thing I want to say, I watched Eleanor yesterday. You know, she's doing the special needs with Cynthia Allen. And I've been watching so many different people talking. And when Eleanor spoke, talking about you and her together and how she met you through Moshe and her connection to you and talking about the polyvagal nerve and doing the heart hug and just talking to parents about how to connect with their heart in order to really see the heart in their children. It was just so beautiful. And she talked about, again, is it called Heart Math?
Yes, Heart Math Institute, yes.
About that, going with you. I mean, it was just beautiful. It was just the two of you together, always on Sundays, and Sandy, and is it Kristen who helps us? On
Kristen, she's right there, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you, everyone. I just want to just give so much gratitude, and it has changed my life. Heart hugs. I just can't tell you. I mean, I'm doing it all the time. And of course, I always have to think, again, where do I start? Do I start at 6? If I'm going to lift up, do I start at a 3? I mean, it depends on where I'm working in my body. So it's been so... my ability to just connect, you know, with the endless possibilities has just brought me into pure joy at being 65 years old. So thank you again.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
So can you give us, just think specifically of like how the heart hugs have helped you just, or help someone else that you helped?
Well, I think what it is about the heart hug, I realize it when I really start to think of the joy of life and starting to really, I mean, this is the weird thing about it. I'm not so much in my head about taking care of me. I used to be more in my head. Now I'm more in my essence that I get to make decisions about me in order then to help somebody else. You always want to help everybody and give up me. So all of a sudden it's like, wow, to be able to just connect with me. And then all of a sudden, like you said, I can send the light out to someone else. or send it out to the universe. I mean, there's just a beauty in it. And I mean, I've just constantly having, you know, to go down to my leg, or, you know, down to my foot. I love doing my feet. I mean, it just, so, I mean, it just is constantly me connecting with myself. And then as I said last week, all of a sudden I feel so tall. I feel really on top of myself, which, you know, after doing Feldenkrais for 10 years, all of a sudden there's just something, a joyousness. I mean, I've experienced it like a wave, and I still do in some ways, but there's a little bit more of me, because I love the moon. I mean, I love the phases of the moon, and I've always prayed to the connection, this triad between the vibrancy of the core of the earth with the amazing photosynthesis, how the sun just really has us grow. And then the phases of the moon, and that triad just has always brought me so much joy when I'm singing to trees. So everything that you say makes me feel like I'm alive. So thank you.
Thank you. And I mean, it is interesting, isn't it, that we go through life and being carried around in this vessel, this vehicle for our soul, and yet having a way to really connect with every cell, it's just so different. And I mean, I've been doing this work, you know, like since the circles, I mean, became aware of it in 1983, I've been looking, searching, like what's at the heart of it. And it's really getting the techniques and the details, because one of the things you said is, okay, where is the 6 o'clock? And if you logically, if you start at, like, imagine this clock just here on our, you know, here. So so 6 o'clock would be toward the ground, 3, I make it really small, so it's 12, and, sorry, 6 o'clock, 9 here to the right, 12 and 3. Because I take the clock off the well and put it here like you're looking at it. Now, if I start at 6, I just kind of make this little arc and it frees up. I can move the tissue more readily. Now, if I start at 3, I'm already like kind of off balance. And it's this lovely feeling of this, I don't know, when I think, I haven't thought about it like quite in this way, because I usually reach out and have someone else feel it and feel a difference. But when I do this here and you see, okay, put the 6, 3, 9, 12, 9, boy, I am having trouble today. This is really interesting. Let's get this right, Linda. Okay, my 6, my 9. My 12 and my 3. Okay. So
what I realized is that if I want to go to 9, I always have to think, what direction do I want to go from 6 to get to 9? And so it's been really playful, because depending on where I'm working on my body and what hand I'm using, I think of it differently slightly. And right. The one thing I wanted to say is, of course, this year I haven't done it, but for 20 years living on Bainbridge, I've always worked with all kinds of school groups. Preschoolers, first graders, second graders, up at this really, 50-acre organic farm, and it's all about pumpkins. And I've always done a lot of dancing and moving and, you know, telling stories about all kinds of edible squashes and the kind that you would carve. And then I started doing breathing with them. And the one thing I've always done is, you know, when I do, you know, breathe through your nose, and then let's exhale and jump out and be like, we're going to be quiet, like shh. And then the next time, I'll do that a couple times, breathe in through the nose and then drop the S, and let's be like a snake. Let's just do the hiss as you exhale. And then, of course, my favorite one is breathing through the nose. And I say, now, how long can you breathe through a straw? And of course, that's the pierced lips. But using with the kids, the straw has worked out so beautifully because they go, a straw? And then, of course, eventually I end up saying, oh, because the crows always show up for me and they're all on the trees and all on the pumpkins. And then I always say, okay, we're going to have to sing to them. So let's breathe in through our nose. And then let's do, as we breathe out, let's do the sound, caw, caw, caw. Right. And the boys are going like this, caw, caw, caw. And it's just so much fun. Everybody's moving. And of course, that caw helps to open up the vocal cords. And that whole, you know, caw, caw.
And it activates the diaphragm.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's... Yes. So I just want to acknowledge the breath and how beautiful it is that you talk about it all the time. I so appreciate it.
Well, I love the way you did that with the children, because through a straw is brilliant. And all those different sounds that you get, those are the sounds that my husband and I are learning in the speech classes in order to, because he was losing his voice to a whisper. And those are exactly the sounds that you that you do. But I love the way you I gave them to the children. That's fantastic.
Oh, it was so much fun. And they just have such a playful time with it. So thank you. All right. And I'll be quiet now.
No, it was beautiful to share that. And one of the things that we've learned that I was thinking, oh, I wish somebody could get to Joe Biden, because he does that, you know, a few times, like clearing our throat like that. We should not do that, because it makes your vocal cords do this and it weakens the vocal cords.
Yeah.
So instead of clearing the throat, what we learned, and maybe some of you musicians or singers have another possibility, but what we learned is that you, instead of clearing, if you cough, it's like, because that activates the diaphragm and that strengthens the vocal cords. So my husband and I keep looking at each other. What? Is that a cough? Or... yeah. And he has his voice back, which he could only whisper before. And, yeah.
Great news. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is beautiful. So it's 3 minutes to the hour. So we're going to come back at 10 after the hour now, take a little break, get up and stretch. See how stiff I got in this time of sitting, and be back in a few minutes.
Next week.
Oh yes, and I know, and oh darn, I just before we go, wait, don't go yet. Oh Glenn, are you still with us? It's later there for him, and I want to make sure that I maybe did we see Glenn? Are you still with us? He came on early because their time. Oh darn. I wanted to know how he was. So he's gone to bed. So I'd love to hear from some of you. We really want to know your theme, how you are in Turkey. I was so worried about you when I heard about the earthquake. So let us hear and know how some of you are all doing. Okay, back we come. 10 after. Aloha.